Today is the 9th day of August. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian, and it is wonderful to be here with you today. Another day, another step forward, all together, all on the same page, moving forward. So we've been moving forward by taking steps through the book of Ezra in the Old Testament, and we're continuing our journey today before we move back into the New Testament and 1 Corinthians and take the next step forward there. So let's dive in. Ezra chapter 8, verse 21 through 9:15 today. There by the Ahava Canal, I gave orders for us all to fast and humble ourselves before our God and to ask Him to lead us on our journey and protect us and our children and all our possessions. I would have been ashamed to ask the emperor for a troop of cavalry to guard us from any enemies during our journey, because I had told him that our God blesses everyone who trusts Him, but that He is displeased with and punishes anyone who turns away from Him. So we fasted and prayed for God to protect us, and He answered our prayers. From among the leading priests, I chose Sherebiah, Hashabiah, and 10 others. Then I weighed out the silver, the gold, and the utensils which the emperor, his advisors and officials, and the people of Israel had given to be used in the temple, and I gave it to the priests. This is what I gave them. Silver, 25 tons. 100 silver utensils, 150 pounds. Gold, 7,500 pounds. 20 gold bowls, 270 ounces. Fine bronze bowls, equal in value to gold bowls. I said to them, "You are sacred to the Lord, the God of your ancestors. And so are all the silver and gold utensils brought to Him as freewill offerings. Guard them carefully until you reach the temple. There, in the priests' rooms, weigh them and turn them over to the leaders of the priests and of the Levites, and to the leaders of the people of Israel in Jerusalem." So the priests and the Levites took charge of the silver, the gold, and the utensils to take them to the temple in Jerusalem. It was on the 12th day of the first month that we left the Ahava Canal to go to Jerusalem. Our God was with us and protected us from enemy attacks and from ambush as we traveled. When we reached Jerusalem, we rested 3 days. Then, on the 4th day, we went to the temple, weighed the silver, the gold, and the utensils, and turned them over to Meremoth, the priest, son of Uriah. With him were Eleazar, son of Phinehas, and 2 Levites, Jozabad, son of Jeshua, and Noadiah, son of Binui. Everything was counted and weighed, and a complete record was made at the same time. All those who had returned from exile then brought offerings to be burned as sacrifices to the God of Israel. They offered 12 bulls for all Israel, 96 rams, and 77 lambs. They also offered 12 goats to purify themselves from sin. All these animals were burned as sacrifices to the Lord. They also took the document the emperor had given them and gave it to the governors and officials of west of Euphrates province, who then gave their support to the people and the temple worship. After all this had been done, some of the leaders of the people of Israel came and told me that the people, the priests, and the Levites had not kept themselves separate from the people in the neighboring countries of Ammon, Moab, and Egypt, or from the Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Jebusites, and Amorites. They were doing the same disgusting things which these people did. Jewish men were marrying foreign women, and so God's holy people had become contaminated. The leaders and officials were the chief offenders. When I heard this, I tore my clothes in despair, tore my hair and my beard, and sat down crushed with grief. I sat there grieving until the time for the evening sacrifice to be offered, and people began to gather around me. All all those who were frightened because of what the God of Israel had said about the sins of those who had returned from exile. When the time came for the evening sacrifice, I got up from where I had been grieving, and still wearing my torn clothes, I knelt in prayer and stretched out my hands to the Lord my God. I said, "Oh, God, I am too ashamed to raise my head in your presence. Our sins pile up higher than our heads. They reach as high as the heavens. From the days of our ancestors until now, we, your people, have sinned greatly. Because of our sins, we, our kings and our priests, have fallen into the hands of foreign kings, and we have been slaughtered, robbed, and carried away as prisoners. We have been totally disgraced, as we still are today. Now, for a short time, O Lord our God, you have been gracious to us and have let some of us escape from slavery and live in safety in this holy place. You have let us escape from slavery and have given us new life. We were slaves, but you did not leave us in slavery. You made the emperors of Persia favor us and permit us to go on living and to rebuild your temple, which was in ruins, and to find safety here in Judah and Jerusalem. But now, O God, what can we say after all this has happened? We have again disobeyed the commands that you gave us through your servants, the prophets. They told us that the land we were going to occupy was an impure land, because the people who lived in it filled it from one end to the other with disgusting, filthy actions. They told us that we were never to intermarry with those people, and never to help them prosper or succeed, if we wanted to enjoy the land and pass it on to our descendants forever. Even after everything that has happened to us in punishment for our sins and wrongs, we know that you, O God, have punished us less than we deserve and have allowed us to survive. Then how can we ignore your commandments again and intermarry with these wicked people? If we do, you will be so angry that you will destroy us completely and let no one survive. Lord God of Israel, you are just, but you have let us survive. We confess our guilt to you. We have no right to come into your presence." 1 Corinthians 5. Now, it is actually being said that there is sexual immorality among you so terrible that not even the heathen would be guilty of it. I am told that a man is sleeping with his stepmother. How then can you be proud? On the contrary, you should be filled with sadness, and the man who has done such a thing should be expelled from your fellowship. And even though I am far away from you in body, still I am there with you in spirit. And as though I were there with you, I have, in the name of our Lord Jesus, already passed judgment on the man who has done this terrible thing. As you meet together, and I meet with you in my spirit, by the power of our Lord Jesus, present with us, you are to hand this man over to Satan for his body to be destroyed, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. It is not right for you to be proud. You know the saying, "A little bit of yeast makes the whole batch of dough rise." You must remove the old yeast of sin so that you will be entirely pure. Then you will be like a new batch of dough without any yeast, as indeed I know you actually are. For our Passover festival is ready, now that Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us celebrate our Passover then, not with bread having the old yeast of sin and wickedness, but with the bread that has no yeast, the bread of purity and truth. In the letter that I wrote you, I told you not to associate with immoral people. Now, I did not mean pagans who are immoral, or greedy, or are thieves, or who worship idols. To avoid them, you would have to get out of the world completely. What I meant was that you should not associate with a person who calls himself a believer, but is immoral or greedy or worships idols or is a slanderer or a drunkard or a thief. Don't even sit down to eat with such a person. After all, it is none of my business to judge outsiders. God will judge them. But should you not judge the members of your own fellowship? As the scripture says, remove the evil person from your group. Psalm 31, 1 through 8, a prayer of trust in God. I come to you, Lord, for protection. Never let me be defeated. You are a righteous God. Save me, I pray. Hear me. Save me now. Be my refuge to protect me, my defense to save me. You are my refuge and defense. Guide me and lead me as you have promised. Keep me safe from the trap that has been set for me. Shelter me from danger. I place myself in your care. You will save me, Lord. You are a faithful God. You hate those who worship false gods, but I trust in you. I will be glad and rejoice because of your constant love. You see my suffering. You know my trouble. You have not let my enemies capture me. You have given me freedom to go where I wish. Proverbs 21, 1 and 2. The Lord controls the mind of a king as easily as he directs the course of a stream. You may think that everything you do is right, but remember that the Lord judges your motives. All right, so in our reading from both the Old and New Testaments today, so from Ezra and 1 Corinthians today, we get a picture of some pretty exasperated people. People who are exasperated over sin that is obvious, and so it is being participated in willfully. So in Ezra, we followed along with Ezra's journey to arrive in the holy city of Jerusalem and God's temple. And when he arrived there, he quickly learned what was going on. He was told about the behavior of the survivors, the exiles who had already returned, and he was exasperated. And I quote from Ezra, "When I heard this, I tore my clothes in despair, tore my hair and my beard, and sat down crushed with grief. I sat there grieving until the time for the evening sacrifice to be offered, and people began to gather around me. All those were frightened because of what the God of Israel had said about the sins of those who had returned from exile." What was so shocking to Ezra was the fact that the few, the remnant, the few who were allowed and who had survived and were able to go back to Jerusalem, their leaders were chief in leading them to participate in some of the very things that had destroyed their culture and weakened them and ultimately led to their overthrow. Their willful abandoning of God's commands. With foreknowledge, they were rebelling against God. And so Ezra says, and I quote, "I am too ashamed to raise my head in your presence. Our sins pile up higher than our heads. They reach as high as the heavens." So in this case, it is the intermingling with what is forbidden, intermingling with what will lead to ultimate destruction. Willfully knowing that you are doing the wrong thing and that it will lead nowhere and doing it anyway. Then we flip over to 1 Corinthians and fast forward 500 years from the time of Ezra, and we see the same kind of willful rebellion taking place. And Paul was exasperated, and I quote from Paul, "It is actually being said that there is sexual immorality among you so terrible that not even the heathen would be guilty of it. It is not right for you to be proud. You know the saying, a little bit of yeast makes the whole batch of dough rise." So in both of these stories, Old and New Testament, we have a visual of the extremes of deception. The people involved knew the truth, but deception and then pride allowed them to rationalize immorality. And the same thing happens to us when we allow deception, a deception, to get in and to twist us up inside. We will invariably begin walking a path that will lead us into immorality. And that doesn't mean sexual immorality alone. It means we will invariably be walking a path that we know is wrong, and that will lead us to do wrong. And in that place of deception and pride, we can justify just about anything, sometimes even in the name of God. So what's the point? Like, how can we sew these together, these stories? Intermingling with sin, walking down a path, even a step or two, in a direction that we know is wrong, will lead us to destruction in the end. This was true 2,500 years ago with Ezra. This was true 2,000 years ago for Paul, and they blip up and show up in the Bible, and it's still true today. Allowing deception in our lives to breed pride and arrogance that forces us to double down on our sin and rationalize things makes a new normal in our lives, a new default. Rooted in deception, we start living as if the deception were true, and very quickly we are living a false reality. And when the whole thing blows up and falls apart, we're surprised. But if we're honest, we knew better from the very beginning. And so let's think about it today. What have we been catching ourselves rationalizing? What are we justifying? And why? Deception will tell us that there isn't an issue. It will tell us that freedom is where there are no boundaries. Ethics and morality, these are cages to control us. But that's a lie. And believing it allows us to live in a false reality. Actual freedom comes when there isn't anything false and there isn't anything to hide. And so spending some time in the presence of God today, considering what we are hiding, will become like a spotlight toward where we find deception in our lives. And so Holy Spirit, come into this. This is a weighty thing. To invite you to show us places that we've believed things and acted upon things that were intended to deceive us. We ask almost every day that you would lead us into all truth. We are asking that again. And we are asking you to shine the light of truth upon us. We open up everything, all of the windows of our lives. All of the doors of our lives, all of the closets of our lives, all of the basements of our lives, all of the storage containers of our lives, all of the issues of our lives, we open ourselves to you and say, come, shine the light of truth. Break the powers of deception in us, we pray. In the mighty, capable, powerful name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That is home base, and that is where you can find out what's going on around here. And you can do all that with the Daily Audio Bible app. Download that free at the app store that works with your device. Just search for Daily Audio Bible. And yeah, check out the different things that are going on around here. Check out the community section. This is where to get connected. Different places on social media that we participate. It's also where the prayer wall lives, which is just exclusive to us here around the Global Campfire. It's a place for us as a community to come and pray for each other and offer prayer and encouragement to each other. And so check that out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if you find that having the spoken word of God read fresh and offered freely into your life each day, if that makes a difference, then thank you humbly for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And of course, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, DAB family. This is the burning bush that will not be devoured for the glory of our God and our King. This call is for Tina. Her mother called and praying for her healing, praying for her to be able to consume nutrients via a feeding tube, and just praying for God to comfort her as she is battling liver failure. She's also waiting for a transplant. Father God, all these details, Lord, you know. You alone know. So, Father God, we call upon the God, Jesus Christ, who walked this earth and healed the sick. God, we know that you are still God today and you are still healing today. As if illnesses did not exist in that body, Father, so we believe you. We believe, and she believes, Tina believes that you can heal her. So, Lord, we just commit her into your hands. I pray that you touch her body. I pray that you restore her bodily functions, her liver, in the name of Jesus. I pray for a divine healing, a miraculous healing in her body right now, in the name of Jesus. I pray for her mom, who I can hear in her voice is suffering. God, I pray also for Tina, Lord. Increase her faith, Father. Allow her to remember who she is and who she is. And God, just continue to comfort her and remind her that you are God indeed. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name.
Good morning, DAB family. For this is God's tree. I have many branches, but I am rooted in every word of God. I have a special prayer request for a friend of mine who is a minister. He and his wife lost two children previously trying to have kids, but they were able, God bless them, with two other children, both with special needs. To condense the story, the youngest one has a heart issue. She choked and the father had to do CPR in order to restore her. And of course, you know, with CPR, she had some damages done to her ribs. The doctors were able to give the little girl the okay and everything was fine. About a week or two later, the oldest daughter was playing with the tablet and accidentally hit the youngest one in the head and it caused skull damage. So they took the baby to the hospital. The baby got treated, but then social service got involved and said that they suspect shaken baby syndrome. So to make a long story short, the children have been I'm in and out of their home. They're under supervised care, and we all rallied together to go to court to see about them getting their full custody of their children. And the judge felt like there were still inconsistencies for the past few months, and so the judge completely took both children away from their parents, and now they have to fight to get them back again when both of the children need their parents so bad and their parents love them so much. This was just a freak accident. It was freak timing. So I ask that you pray for this family. They'd be able to have their children restored to them. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Thank you.
Hidey-ho, siblings. It's your little sis, his little Cherie in Canada. I'm not doing very well, and I'd really appreciate prayer. I'm having a lot of trouble with my feet. A lot of pain in my feet, weakness in my legs, and so it's not good. But I sure appreciate if you could say a quick prayer for me. Thank you.
People tend to do everything on their own when they believe they're all alone, molding and shaping their plans with the strength of their own hands. Bootstrap theology can turn a person into an army of one, making them believe that it is only through their own strength that everything gets done. Pushing away others, making it hard to accept them as brothers. But no man is an island. No man stands alone. God's love surrounds us, and he's still on the throne, loving us patiently till we come to our senses. Start building bridges instead of putting up fences. Thank you, Father, for loving us in such a wonderful way, for giving us so many victories day after day. Because you tell us in your word, Father, beware when you think you stand unless you fall. And that's some good scriptural wisdom that's applicable to us all. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. And even though those words belong to a very old song, they point the way to where we rightfully belong. BlindTony1016@gmail.com. I'd like to give a shout out to Sherlock Washington on the case and Kim. And also Soaring on Eagle's Wings and Miko the Interactive Cat. Haven't heard you singing lately. I missed the sound of your singing. And once again, Brian and the Harden family, thank you for this wonderful podcast for God's Holy Spirit to flow. Keep it flowing, y'all. All right. Bye-bye.